You'll take your Bibles. Please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it's almost like I got confused when I was studying for this message today, because I had this message prepared for last Sunday, and then at the last minute we weren't here. And so I'm thinking, no, I preached this message. No, you didn't. You know, it was kind of back and forth, and I was trying to figure out what I said, and I didn't want to repeat myself. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want to read the first 15 verses. And this is the message today, to be honest, is a message that I'm kind of nervous about it. Usually I'm not. This message today, I can't tell you how I feel about this message, because God has been showing me some things here out of this chapter that are extremely important for us to understand as believers. And how do we get what's in this chapter into our heart? That's the question. How do we get what's in this chapter into our heart? Let me read. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. And I'll stop reading there. Now, there are some difficult verses in here. There are some verses in here that I have never been able to quite understand. There are some verses in here that I have seen in an entirely different perspective for the very first time as I was studying for this message. And I'm just going to, one thing that I didn't know how to do, I don't know how to do. This scripture at the beginning, the first number of verses, talk about babes and talk about, they talk about milk and it talks about meat. And I am not here today to identify any of you as being on milk or being on meat. I want to read just a couple verses in Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 12 through 14, and it sheds some light on that subject. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, this is what it says. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And that word unskillful means inexperienced. Inexperienced. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful or inexperienced in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And something that I want to make sure that you understand is I have seen young people that appear to be on strong meat. I have seen older people that appear to be on milk. So it's not contingent upon your age. And that's what I want to talk about just at the first part of my message here today, is what is the contingency in regard to milk, and what is the contingency in regard to meat? And one of the illustrations, and what I find interesting, I find it very interesting that the key verse in what I just got finished reading here, the key verse is verse 11, where it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." That's the key verse, and I want us to keep that verse in mind as I talk about strong meat and milk, and as I talk about babes and maturity, and as I talk about the problem that is identified between, this verse is in the middle of the first part of what I read and the last part, and I'll explain that out. So, one of the things that I noticed here is that Paul is using an observation he made. Now listen to this. Paul is using an observation, and from that observation that he made, he determined if people were on milk or on meat. And the observation was, this is what happened in the church. It says, "For ye are yet carnal." Then it says, "Whereas," verse 3 I'm reading, "there is among you envying and strife and divisions." So Paul was saying, as long as there are envy, strife, and divisions, that's indicative, or it indicates, it's indicative of being on milk. And why is that? Those are the type of things that I want us to think about as we read the scriptures. As you read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, don't just read down through here. Don't just read down through here. When you read these scriptures and you say, and you come to babes and you say, stop right there. I want to encourage you, stop and think about what in this scripture indicates if I'm a babe or if I am a mature person. That's how we learn from the scriptures. That's what I've been doing with this scripture for 3 weeks. I've been reading this over and over. And I'm saying, God, I need to know who is this babe and who is this mature person. And the first thing I noticed that there are 3 words that are used here. Envy, strife, and division. Now what's interesting about those 3 words, again, don't just gloss over those words. Don't just gloss over those words when you're reading the scripture. Stop and say, why does it mention envying, strife, and divisions? Because, I want to tell you, this is a sequence. When there is envy, that's how you feel about something. You know what? I don't know why, but I'm envious of Albert's shop. I have a feeling of jealousy. That's envy. That's envy. And guess what? When we have strife, then I start taking and putting that actually into words. Now I don't just feel envious about Albert. Now I'm starting to actually put that into words. And guess what? Because how I feel and what I say, divisions occur. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? And so we can conclude from this scripture that when there are divisions, something preceded that, right? Something preceded that. When there are divisions, something preceded that. Now what we need to do is identify what preceded that, and we need to find out, is that the action of a babe or is it the action of a mature person? That's what this scripture is teaching us. Isn't that interesting? Because sometimes we say, no, no, he's right, he's wrong, he's right, he's wrong, and we have this whole thing, and we never stop and say, are my actions the actions of a babe, or are my actions the actions of a mature person? Interesting. I found that. And as I was coming down through here and studying this, I really, really start seeing, the thing about why churches struggle. Churches struggle because churches are full of babes. I'm sorry to tell you that bluntly, but when churches split, when churches fuss, when churches fight, when churches splinter, when churches do all kinds of things like that, it's indicative of something. What is it? What is it, brothers? Have you stopped and asked yourself that question? And then how do I play into that? In the middle of this whole conflict that's going on within churches, am I a babe or am I on meat? Am I on milk or I need to be bottle fed? Or am I someone that is on meat? Sometimes we say it's not fair to judge people by how they act. But I make an observation here in this scripture that Paul related carnality, a carnal spirit, with these three words: strife, envy, and divisions. Now, as I mentioned to you previously already in previous sermons, carnality is a word that I don't always understand. Because if you look up the Greek word for carnality, you will find it's the same word for flesh, as flesh. In other words, when Romans teaches us that so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That word flesh and the word carnality are the very same words in the Greek. Now, what I've come to the conclusion in studying this scripture, I've come to the conclusion by going back and looking at who this letter was written to. And if we go back into the first chapter, the first verses, that we will see unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. So is it okay for me to say that this letter was written to believers? And is it safe for me then to say that within this congregation of believers there's envy, strife, and divisions? And that's what identifies carnality right there. Is when you have believers that still have traits of the flesh. That's a carnal. That's what the word carnal is used as. It seems to separate actions after you're a believer from actions that were before you were a believer, although the root is the same. Although the root is the same. I want to go down to verse 12, where it says, now if any man build upon this foundation, what is the foundation that is made reference to in that verse? Jesus. You know what? That was new for me. That sounds very elementary, but that was new for me. I did not equate this whole thing about gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble with how people build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And that is then a big issue. That is a very, very large issue. So people have become saved. That's what the context of the verse, our verses are. People have become saved. And there are some people that are then going to take this person of Jesus Christ that has now become, there is now within them through the Holy Spirit. And on this foundation of salvation, people are either going to build with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. And do you notice the sequence of those six words? Again, it's important. It goes from the most valuable to the least valuable. Hay, wood, is more valuable than hay. Hay is more valuable than stubble. And what it is showing us that people are building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, either with one of these six that it mentions here. So the question then comes back, like I was saying, don't just gloss over these scriptures as you read them. The question comes back and says, tell me, how can I build on the foundation of Jesus Christ with things? Tell me, again, I'll ask you a question. Gold, silver, precious stones, what is similar in all three of those?
Longevity.
Do you know that you can bury gold out here in the soil and you can leave it there for 50 years and it will not rust? What's something else about gold, silver, or precious stones? Longevity? Value? You know, when I think about longevity and value, I just want to ask you the question. As you build on the Lord Jesus Christ, are you looking, in regard to your decisions, into the future? And are you thinking about the future? Because the future is far away. When we think about the future, I'm thinking of eternity. Are you building presently on this foundation with something that is going to last into eternity? Or are you building with something that is a big issue with you right now, that the fire is going to burn up and it's going to be going to destroy the work? All your effort, everything that you've worked for, all your life is going to be burned up and gone. Or are you building with something that is so secure that the fire will not destroy it? That's the question. I really don't know how to put this message together. I got up early this morning and prayed a long time about this message. I just want to talk a little bit about what is gold. How do we build with gold, silver, and precious stones? How do we do that? How do we build with gold, silver, and precious stones? How do we build on this foundation of Jesus Christ with wood, hay, and stubble? It'd be interesting to hear your thoughts. Some of the things that I've been thinking about is we are a people. And you've heard me say it. I said it at men's meeting. I said it at Bible study. I've been teaching it here, that we are the recipients of who teaches us. We are the recipients of who teaches us. And when I think about our teachers, all of us grew up in a home where we had a teacher, and that teachers were our parents. Either intentionally or unintentionally, our parents taught us something. And when it comes to church, when it comes to religion, we have had people that have been influential in our lives. We've had preachers that got up and preached. And I do not want to discredit all the preaching that has been done In fact, Paul would teach us that even if somebody gets up and preaches with something that's false, I mean, I want to say this carefully, but they're preaching Jesus, I'm going to say it like this, they're preaching Jesus to the best of their knowledge. And it's kind of like what happened to Apollos. If you remember, he was out there and he was teaching to people, and all of a sudden somebody came and said, hey, you're not quite teaching this right. And he took correction and started teaching correctly. There are times that people are teaching the best that they understand and know. And I want to be careful that I don't just throw all of that out, because there can be good things that are taught even in that way. But I want us to remember that building on the foundation of Jesus Christ is something that you personally do. And you do that based on who your teacher has been. A lot on who your teacher has been. You do that based on people that are in your lives. And I want to encourage us that if we want to build with gold, silver, precious stones, we must first go back to the scriptures. That's where this whole thing begins. This whole thing about understanding the foundation begins with God's word. And being able to read God's word and being able to understand God's word. And if you want to be able to understand God's word, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it says like this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, if you want to understand the scriptures, you must allow the Spirit of God to bring to you interpretation, and that interpretation needs to be the point that everything else comes up against. In other words, do not take the teaching of individuals and take God's word. I'm saying take the individuals and put them up against God's word, because God's word is truth. God's word is the absolute truth. And then everything that we hear taught comes up and is scrutinized, is put up against God's word and say, is this truth or not? And this is the way we know truth. We don't know truth just by listening to somebody's message. Because we need to know truth by reading God's word, knowing God's word, and from there we make a judgment call. And again, what's interesting is even that comes back to what we've been taught in how to interpret the scriptures. There's so many things that I saw that come in here in regard to gold, silver, and precious stones. I don't have time today to go into a lot of these details, but I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Every one of us here today that is born again is building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Let's talk just a little bit about wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble are all perishable. Right now, we're keeping our house warm with perishable wood. We put it in there, we watch it burn up. And in the process, our house stays nice and warm. But wood is perishable. Hay is perishable. Stubble is perishable. So how do we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ with perishable material? How do we do that? We do that by reading other man's material. I've been talking about that. We've had a lot of damage done to believers that are expressing faith in Christ by the books they read. We've had a lot of damage that has been done by the books they read. Books that would teach that all that matters is your heart's right with God. Nothing else matters. Just my heart's right with God. I'm born again. Let the world go by. I'm right with God. That's false teaching. Because the scriptures are very clear, even in this context that I read to you, that it is not expected that envy, strife, and divisions come from people that are on strong meat. And what I'm seeing here is wood, hay, and stubble is listening to reading, listening to all the material that's available out there. One time I was in a building and they had a religious radio station on, and I'm walking down through here, down through there, and I'm thinking it was McGee. Is there a person like that? McGee? Okay, I think it was him. He was teaching the importance of living the Old Testament. And he said, I go as far, and I'm just walking through this building, and I'm hearing this message, and I stop, and I said, what did he just get finished saying? And this is what he said. He said, folks, he said, if you eat pork today, you're violating God. That's what he said. So how many listeners took him serious? Because they're a follower of McGee. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Now, that's a radical illustration, but I want us to think about wood, hay, and stubble is building with perishable material. And you know, this thing gets down right to the nitty-gritty. There are preferences that people have that they demand everybody else follows. Those preferences can be mandated so strongly that it causes divisions. Think about it. After we have worked through all the divisions and worked through them and everything settles down, what have we gained? It's kind of like the old story goes, well, trouble just left, only to have to remain in the brotherhood. After those people left, you know, we say, well, sure, trouble the troublemaker just left. Sorry, probably didn't. I just, in closing here, have been moved by this book. This book is written by Gene Edwards. I'm careful what I read. This book grabbed my attention. Because on the cover, this is what it says. When friends become enemies, when you are treated unjustly, when your church is in a crisis, when your church is in the middle of a split, then it is time for you to climb the highest mountain. And in the back, it says something like this. Few pieces of Christian literature ever address the subject of division in the body of Christ. And that sentence caught my attention, and I start reading this. Let me give you some illustration that he uses in this book. One of the things that he uses climbing a mountain as an illustration. And in this climbing the mountain, for the very first time, you come up to the base of this mountain and you look up there, and that peak seems to be far away. Far away. And you say, how in the world am I going to ever get up there? And then you start looking a little bit more closely and you actually see a path. And then as you observe this path and you start walking on this path, all of a sudden you'll start coming to some banners. Banners that people that have walked through this path have left. These banners are words of encouragement. These banners are words that are intended to propel you to keep on. And the intent of this little story that he wrote in here about climbing this mountain is, are you a person that wants to benefit from the people that have preceded you in climbing this mountain? Or are you going to say, nope, everyone previous to me took the long route.
I'm going to take the route that's shortest. And so you get your big machete out and you start hacking a complete new path. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, we can build with gold, silver, and precious stones by seeking the advice of people that have been ahead of you. You can build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. You can save yourself a lot of headaches. You can go to people that have been ahead of you and you can say, how has this worked for you? I don't want to repeat the same mistake. Building on the foundation of Jesus Christ is extremely important when you involve other people in your lives. If you think this whole thing is going to, I'm going to hack my own way, it's going to be a very long, tiresome journey, and you may never get to the summit because you may wear out before you get there. I want to encourage you, if you are struggling in your marriage, if you are having whatever it is, struggles, I want to encourage you to think about people that have been ahead of you and how you handle that situation. That situation, your circumstances that you find yourself in, is going to be entirely contingent upon how you are building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. If you are going to say, how do we figure this out? I'm going to go to somebody else and ask them how they figured it out. You know what's interesting? People know something doesn't work, but they keep repeating the actions over and over and over. If we want to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, we must learn from the predecessors, people that have been ahead of us. What did you do? What were things that militated against your Christian life? I don't want those same things to militate against my Christian life. And that's where we as a brotherhood come together, where we can learn from each other. It was so nice yesterday morning. We had, 10, 11 brothers sitting around the table. We can all learn from each other if our heart is set on the value of each other. But if our heart says, I need to hack my own way up there, we're not pay attention to the value of the brotherhood. I want to tell you, the Christian life is not that difficult. It is, but we make it very difficult for ourselves in many ways. Let me give you another illustration here that had a deep impact on my life as I studied for this message. I did not realize it, but he used the same text in this book that I just read to you today in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And this is the illustration. Gene Edwards was an evangelist. He had a call to evangelism. He went out all across America and he preached the gospel. And guess what he did? Guess where this thing ended? This is how it ended. He completely stopped preaching the gospel because he went from church to church to church to church and he saw absolutely no changes from his preaching. He saw people getting up and saying, I'm going to follow Christ. 6 months later, they were back in the same rut that they were in before they ever became believers. He became so discouraged that he totally shut down his evangelistic work. He became so discouraged at what he saw happening in the churches. And right when he made this decision to quit preaching, he got sick. He almost died. Quite a story. He almost died. At the end of 4 years, he was well again. And right at that time, in one of the cities in Southern California, there was a group of 20 young people that got miraculously saved, just totally on their own. Someone picked up a Bible, one of the 20 picked up a Bible, and they started reading the Bible. Just the straight, plain word of truth. And just out of reading the scriptures, A couple people became believers. They are tattooed. They're prostitutes. They're druggies. They're of the worst. And all of a sudden, they are born again people. And they started talking to some friends, and now there's a group of 20. And these 20 people, they're all in their lower 20s. They come together at a house, and all they do at this house is study the scriptures. They're so new in studying the scriptures, they don't understand it. They've had no religious outside influence. They're druggies, they're prostitutes, they're all kinds of people. And they started Bible study. One of them found out about Gene Edwards. They said, would you come and just sit in our Bible studies and give us direction? He consented. But what was so interesting is he sat into that group. I'll say this before I make that statement. One of the conditions that he said, he will come and help them, but under one condition. He said, I'm going to be with you for 1 year. At the end of 1 year, I am going to drop out of your life. He said, you can't call me, you can't talk to me, I'm going to drop out of your life at the end of 1 year. And what I've taught you in this 1 year is either going to carry you through or it's not. And you have to decide. And what Gene Edwards did is he sat down and he started talking to them about the singular teaching in regard to the person of Jesus Christ. He did not bring in any doctrine. He did not bring any practice in. He simply taught them Jesus Christ. At the end of 1 year, about a month before his year was up, there was a big church in the community that split wide apart. There was a personality clash within the leadership. Some of the people went with this leader, some of the people went with this leader. There were people that left both churches, didn't stay with one or the other. And all of a sudden, they had 70 people that came from this mega church and joined these 20. What do you think happened? What do you think happened? What do you think happened?
Don't
tell me.
Tell me another split.
Pardon?
I said, don't tell me another split.
What do you think happened? Disaster. Disaster. We had religious people that came in that said, this is important, and the other people said, no, this is important. And they brought all those religious teachings that they had into this group of 20 new believers. I don't know how long it was later, Gene Edwards comes back and looks, where is this group of 20? There were some in this group of 20 that stayed faithful to Jesus Christ. There were some in this group of 20 that were led away by one side or the other. And I want to tell you something, brothers. This congregation right here is in the very same situation. You know that? In 20 years from now, we're going to have 20 years under our belt to identify who build with gold, silver, and precious stones, and who build with wood, hay, and stubble. Stop and think about it. In 20 years from now, this group is going to have to make a decision between liberalism or traditionalism. This group's going to have to make a decision. Some of you are going to say, I'm going to stick here. Some of you are going to say, I stick here. And guess what happens? Divisions. And I want to tell you, I am not teaching here today only about Jesus Christ. What I'm saying with that is, out of my life of being in Christ and Christ in me comes a life of great fulfillment that causes me. Remember, I've been teaching you that faith is a belief that I have about the being of God. And that belief that I have about God dictates how I live. Are you with me? Do you understand that? That my belief about God dictates how I live. And as I go into the scriptures, I can find precisely how I am to live. Because God's word is truth. We have many voices. We have many voices that are speaking to us. This is right. This is right. This is wrong. This is wrong. And it's all over. And it brings mass confusion. I want to tell us, brothers and sisters, at the end of the testing, and this scripture today that I read to you ends up by saying, every man's work shall be tested by the fire. Those 20 faced the fire. Those 20 had all kinds of voices that all of a sudden came in and encroached upon them. And they were tested to the core if they're going to stay faithful to their belief about the Lord Jesus Christ as the only means of salvation. And I so appreciate, brothers, I want to tell you, it is so important that we get into our hearts that it is impossible for us to be saved by ourselves. There is absolutely nothing we can do to save ourselves. I don't care how good we've had good teaching today about the absolute impossibility of doing things that save ourselves, to save ourselves. It all comes back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this church is contingent. The future of this church is contingent upon how strong your belief is in regard to the being of God and how you're going to act in this brotherhood. That's what this scripture is teaching us. This scripture is teaching us as an example that there's strife, envy, and divisions. Indicative of carnality. And when you have carnality that is rampantly operating in a church, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Every one of us are going to be put to the test in regard to our belief about the Lord Jesus Christ and how that belief expresses itself in modest living, in knowing what the world is, and not messing with the world system in the least. Because as soon as we start messing with the world system, it's indicative of flirting with the world, being an adulterer or adulteresses. We can't go there, brothers. We must know what the scriptures teach us about world. We must know what the scriptures teach us about righteousness. And we must love righteousness and hate iniquity. Or this church will never stand. You know what? What's interesting? The form can continue. That's what's interesting. The form can continue. The form can continue. When the testing comes, 1 Peter says, don't be surprised when there's fiery trials come your way. Don't be surprised about that. Because that should be part of our life. Because it's that testing that defines our foundation or how we're building on the foundation. Brothers, I'm just sharing with you this message because this message, I can't tell you how I felt as this message began to develop in my life, in my heart, about the future of this congregation. Remember, Paul says, oh, I'm fearful because I know, he said, when I leave, grievous wolves are going to come in. That's the testings that every church faces. Every church faces grievous wolves. Every church faces grievous wolves that want to come in and destroy. We're just not wise enough to identify those grievous wolves. You know that? Many times we're just not wise enough to identify those grievous wolves. That's where each of us come into play. Some of us are eyes, some of us are ears, some of us are other parts of the body.
and together we're complete, and we really need each other to identify what the grievous wolves are. And you know what? As we hear the expressions coming from the brotherhood, we need to be open. Remember, we're not hacking our own way. We are going on the trails that have been cut previous to us. We can go to people that will say, don't do this because it will do this. And we want to learn from those people. We want to learn from those people. In conclusion, I just want to say, building with gold, silver, and precious stones takes diligence and perseverance. If you are lighthearted, you will never make it. That's just kindly said to you, brothers and sisters. If you don't really care about your Christian life, if you really don't read the scriptures and dig into them and see how the scriptures, how God becomes part of me, you will never, ever be a strong part of a congregation. You will always be building with wood, hay, and stubble because it's all about you. It's all about you. It's about your time. It's about you. If you want to build with gold, silver, and precious stones, that takes diligence and perseverance on your part. You must guard against the enemy. And you know what? It's interesting. Throughout the scriptures, how many times? Beware, beware, beware. Those words are all through the scriptures. That's how we build with gold, silver, and precious stones on the foundation of Jesus Christ. I just want to tell you that the enemy is going to bring circumstances and people into your lives. The enemy is going to bring circumstances and people into your lives that will reveal how you are building on this foundation. Circumstances and people will reveal how you're building. If you're going to take heed to voices that are out there that are not synonymous with God's word, you're going to find out wood, hay, and stubble is how you're building. Just in a very simple elementary statement, I just simply want to say there is only one foundation. And that foundation is the person of Jesus Christ, identified in verse 11 of the scripture text here today. One other thing I want to say in conclusion is I want to say the visible reveals the depth and quality of your foundation. The visible reveals your depth and quality of how you are building on this foundation. The visible. See, I can go right back to verse 3. That was the visible. The visible was envy, strife, divisions. That was the visible. That was indicative of what? That was indicative of building with wood, hay, and stubble. Just one last reference that I want to make. I long have questioned about this verse that says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. What does that verse mean? It seems to indicate, and I'm very open to you brothers, but it seems to indicate from that verse that people that have actually become born again, even if they build with wood, hay, and stubble, that work is all going to be burned up. But because he's born again, he may be saved. I have to think of this verse. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 18 says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? That word scarcely means if the righteous are saved with difficulty. In other words, what those scriptures are teaching us is that we are in an environment that's a very hostile environment.
This world is not our friend. We are encapsulated in an environment that is hostile. And it's very easy to be led astray by voices and people that look right. And if the righteous be saved with difficulty, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? In other words, it's going to be pretty easy for them to be lost. And I don't know if that's an accurate interpretation. I make myself very open to you as brothers. But it seems to indicate that what is burned up here is the work. I would hate to be a believer that works your whole life in having a certain form of a practice that you've been building upon, only to have that whole thing burned up and of no value at the day of judgment. But that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Brothers, the longevity of this church, this brotherhood right here today, depends on every one of us as families here today building on the foundation of Jesus Christ with gold, silver, and precious stones. Lasting. Remember, I could take you into the scriptures that would say, don't lay up gold, earthly perishable things, but lay up treasures in heaven. That's how we lay up gold, silver, and precious stones, or that's how we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ with gold, silver, and precious stones. I've been teaching us that this world is hostile to the Christian life because we have, and I was just talking to Albert this morning a little bit, if you go into the very last church in the book of in the third chapter, you will see that in that church they were reprimanded because they were rich and had need of nothing, only to have it printed that they were not even aware that they were blind and destitute and naked. They weren't even aware of it. They weren't even aware of it. There are many churches that are in that situation today. This church is going to fall prey to all of that unless we know how to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, gold, silver, and precious stone. One thing that I want to encourage us, brothers, and he very forcefully brings it out in this book, is something that we have been talking about, and I was blessed by that. I want us to think about this brotherhood here. You know, realize that we don't have an itch on the gospel over other churches, over other people. There are some things maybe that we understand here that other people may not. But when we think that we have a niche on the gospel, it's an indication of pride. And pride goeth before destruction. We cannot lift ourselves up as a brotherhood and think that we have our act together. We cannot lift ourselves up and think we're doing everything right and all the churches out around us, they're just off of the beaten path. They're way wrong. They may be, but I'm talking about an attitude that has lifted itself up in pride. This scripture teaches us that if we want to build with gold, silver, and precious stones, it can only be accomplished from a humble and contrite heart. It can only be accomplished when we know and see our great need of God. And it's not about me. It's about all of us together and Christ in us, that we together can function as a brotherhood. God bless you.